The last phrase we sang in that song really summarizes what the Christian life is all about, doesn't it? The cross before me and the world behind me. And if we keep that focus and understand the importance of the Christian life, there will be no turning back. Certainly appreciate the many thoughts that were shared. Appreciate the worship, the songs we've sang, and the presence of the Holy Spirit here in our gathering today. We're here as a regular Sunday morning worship service, and yet also as a special service in relation to baptism. We have six young people here this morning that have requested and desired to follow through on their commitment to Christ and to partake of water baptism and also become members of the congregation here. And so in thinking of that this morning, we'd like to think for a little bit about what it means to be baptized, what it means to have Christ within us. And I'm going to be looking at some scriptures that relate to this. The title of the message will be The Witness of Christ Within. We think about what baptism represents in the scriptures and the importance that it is in our lives as a Christian. Now, just as an introduction, there's a few scriptures that were going through my mind in the last day or so in thinking of baptism, thinking of what it means to make vows to God in baptism. And some of the meaning of baptism, I thought of this scripture, Acts 2, verse 17, is probably one of the basic scriptures that explains the meaning of baptism, at least as I understand it. It says, "And this shall come to pass in the last days." This is Peter referring to the prophet Joel. "Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." So we have there the picture of a pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the life of those who have committed themselves to Him. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And you think about that scripture as it relates to soon after this in the book of Acts, they had baptisms. And people were saved. And like in verse 41 of the same chapter, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." The pouring out of the Holy Spirit into the life of a person. Then we think about baptism and the pouring of the water symbolizing that pouring of the Spirit into the life of those who have claimed Christ and his forgiveness of sins for themselves personally. I also was thinking of a few verses, thoughts in relation to making a vow. This is the serious side of this. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it." That doesn't mean that it's better not to take a baptismal vow in case we break it, because that is an issue of destiny itself. But the emphasis on the seriousness of what we promise God. There's going to be vows made here today in this service, Lord willing, that these young people will make. And it's a vow that is made by faith, not in themselves, but in the power of God and that Holy Spirit being poured out into their lives that is going to enable them to make a vow like the rest of us have done as we have been baptized and have made a vow to God, not because of our strength and our even personal commitment. Yes, a commitment is there, but it's because of the power of God at work within us. That's how we live out those vows. And so it is good for us all this morning as we think about this service and we think about baptism, the importance for all of us who have made vows to God to consider how we are doing in keeping those vows. I would like to take your attention now to a very familiar scripture, Galatians 2. And I think this scripture, again, characterizes for us some of the meaning of the Christian life, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to, or what baptism means. It represents the witness of Christ within our hearts. In Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16, down to verse 21, the end of the chapter. And we're going to concentrate on this thought of the witness of Christ within. Of course, centering our thoughts around the idea in verse 20, where he says, "But Christ liveth in me." Verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." In other words, we can't make ourselves good enough for God to accept us. That's be the works of the law, to somehow better ourselves so that maybe God will accept us. We come to God in brokenness and in emptiness, and we come to God at the bottom, we could say, laying down, like we talked about in the Sunday lesson, that pride, because the only way that God will do business with a sinner is because there is a complete brokenness, and we have nothing left to bring to God except the cry for forgiveness and the cry for repentance and the cry for his sustaining help. So by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 17, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." You can't back up in relation to the works of the law while seeking Christ. Verse 19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I may be alive unto God." Now, verse 20, I'd like us to say this or read this verse together. It's a familiar verse. Let's all together. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." It makes again that distinction between the Old Testament law and the law of grace. Now, here God is speaking through Paul about Christian freedom and what it means to be alive in Christ. There's a lot of misunderstanding in today's world about what freedom is, even in so-called Christian circles. But he is saying that keeping the law will never justify a person. And Paul had tried this. If you read his life and his story of his life, he said, I was blameless. I just tried to live up to the law in every point that I possibly could think of or understand. But he found himself empty. He found himself, it was insufficient. And he found himself outside of the circle of justification with God because of that, because there was a change. And he lived in a difficult time because of that transition. But he came to understand it because the law was fulfilled in the life and death of Christ. And therefore, it was no longer in effect. So how can a person be justified before God? It's not by the works of the law. We have this, you know, well-known yet powerful statement here in verse 20 where he says, "I am crucified with Christ." In other words, I died. Crucifixion means death. I died with Christ. I laid everything out in death with him. "Nevertheless, I'm not physically dead, I'm still alive, physically, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so this statement outlines the key to victorious Christian living. Paul says he is dead to all that has no saving merit. He died to all that Phariseeism and all that goodness and pedigree of Jewish lineage and all those things. He said, I died to all of that. That which he thought at one time mattered, and at one time would have been a badge to wear, in quotes. He said, I died to all of that. I left all that. I gave all that up. He's dead to all that has no saving merit, and through that deadness, he is now alive in a much greater dimension. All this is made possible because of this little statement in verse 20. He says, yet not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And that must be the motto of every sincere Christian. Regardless of our age, maturity, it's not I, but Christ. And the only way that we can be alive in Christ is to die to this I inside of us that always wants to exert itself and push itself out and dominate our lives. Paul said, I crucified him. I died. I allowed myself to be crucified with Christ. And now I'm alive as a different man. The witness of Christ within means that we become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things. Yes, we don't necessarily change our looks necessarily, maybe. You know, you don't change your name necessarily. Some people have even done that. It happens. But there's such a difference that you almost have to be reintroduced to the person, if I can say it that way. When the Eternal One enters, and there's that outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God into that person's life, there will be a difference. We're not going to take the time, but you know, Acts 2. What did the crowd say about those who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God? They said, well, they must be drunk. You know, they're acting so different from the norm that something happened to them. You remember Peter stood up and said, no, we're not drunk. This is the early part of the day. You know, and then he gives that scripture, the Holy Spirit of God is poured into the life. And there was a difference. And some of that difference may be greater with some people than others. It's not going to always be exactly the same in its demonstration. But the important thing is that it is there. And it is recognizable. And a person can say, like that blind man said, all I know is, you know, I don't know how it happened or who he was that did it. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. That's the difference that we have to understand in relation to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our life. Does it mean that there's no temptation, there's no struggle, there's no room for growth after that? Of course, we understand that. Those things in relation to a progressive work of sanctification in our hearts. But there's a difference. These young people here this morning are not perfect in their lives. They're normal young people for their age. But we have found and seen, and they have given testimony, their parents have given testimony, that is evidence of the Spirit of God within their heart. And as that is followed through in life, and they continue to follow that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their life, there will be a growth, a maturity. Those of us who have been Christians maybe for many years, we know we haven't had, you could say, a perfect record. And how many times have we had to get on our knees and recommit and go back again to what it means to die. And to die to things. Things that I never thought I'd have to die to in the course of life. But God says, here, this is what I want of you. This is what I'm asking of you. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to give up. And we die some more. The more we die in that crucifixion experience, the more we live in Christ. So the Eternal One enters, and the reign of sin and death stops. It ceases. Paul states that he was no longer the same person. He said the old Saul is crucified, and the new Paul that is alive now is different. Old things are passed away. I refer to that, and all things have become new. Those who met Saul after his conversion could hardly believe he was the same man. You remember that when he went to Jerusalem? You know, and some of the saints there in Jerusalem said, you know, when he walked in, well, that isn't he the one that was persecuting the church? I mean, we heard things about this man. And good-hearted Barnabas, you know, took him and said, you know, he introduced him, you know, this man saw, he's found Christ. He found Christ, by the way. And he's different. The one who was blaspheming the name of Christ now was preaching the name of Christ because of the witness of Christ within his heart, that inpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. So there was a change of mind and heart and desires and affections. They were all changed. He loved those whom he once hated. And he said, I was exceedingly mad against them, and I persecuted them to strange cities, causing them to blaspheme. And now he loved them. He even would lay down his life for them, the people that he once hated. He now preached Jesus, whom he once derided and scorned. And it must be the same in our lives. Yes, the change may not be as dramatic as that of Paul, but there's going to be a change. The old serving of self, looking after my interests and my things and my feelings and my ideas, are surrendered. Not I, but Christ. There's also the witness of the Spirit of God, or the witness of Christ within, as we think about we become a temple of God, a temple for God. If Christ lives within, then our bodies become his temple. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God in salvation, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God into our life, body, soul, and spirit. There's going to be a change in all three. All three are going to be affected. Now, our bodies are not redeemed in salvation. We know that. You know, we still bear the consequences of sin in our bodies. There's sickness and death and so on. And so there's that part of it. But our body becomes under subjection in relation to the Holy Spirit of God because his Spirit indwells us. And that will make a difference. The power of Christ within us is greater, remember, than any natural tendencies or weaknesses that we think we may have or we know we have. The power of God within is greater than all those things in relation to temptation, in relation to sin, and the things that we may be tempted with. The familiar scripture we know, Romans 12, 1. You know, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And then later, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This means if Christ really lives within a person's heart, it will be noticeable on the outside. It will be noticeable on the outside. My wife and I talk about it sometimes. Maybe she's been in town or something, and she comes home and she said, I met this person. We didn't really have any conversation much, but she said, I just feel that woman is a believer. I can feel something. I think that there is something to that. you know, we can, you know, where that person's at on their spiritual journey, and we don't always know unless we can really get to know them, but there is going to be a difference. There's going to be a change. Because it is the witness of Christ within the heart. Another part of this witness of Christ that who lives within means that we are governed by his will. Very simple truth. Verse 20, Paul's old will was dead. That's why he said, I've crucified this old will. I brought into subjection, you know, and now I have a new will. His new will was to do the will of Christ. Does that mean that there was no struggle in that? Of course there was a struggle in that. But by staying dead, by staying crucified, we can maintain that life in Christ and that aliveness. God does not intend this to be an operation of conflict. And while at times we know that because of our own failures and straying from what God wants of us, we create conflict in our lives, but God doesn't bring his work in us through his Holy Spirit to just live in conflict the rest of our lives. There is a freedom, there is an openness and a peace, a transparency that happens that frees us to be what God wants us to be. Christ doesn't drag along unwilling people to do his will. And there's times, like you would say, and I would say, that there's been times I've been a little unwilling, and he's probably had to work on me a bit in some difficult things. But to come back to that peace of surrender and die again. So he's not going to drag along unwilling people. But rather, there's going to be an interest, an eagerness, a willingness to follow, even at times if we don't clearly understand how that's all going to work out. It is his power that gives us power over sin and self because of his victory over the devil. And so the reign of Christ or the working of Christ within our hearts really can affect every part of us, every corner of our life, our heart, our mind is affected by the Holy Spirit of God within us. The unruly passions, the fiery tempers, the false pretenses, the unsanctified tongues, you know, the sinful attitudes, and the list could go on. The Holy Spirit of God has the answer to those things. Paul said, I crucify those. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live within me. And that changes how I act and react under the control of the Spirit of God. We also possess all sufficiency. He says, not I, but Christ. The daily needs of our spiritual life, our spiritual man, can be met in Christ because he is all sufficient. Does it matter whether I go to the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures? Does it matter whether I pray to him today or can I do that next week? You see, what I'm saying is that there is sufficiency in the witness of Christ within us. Not I, but Christ, which is there to feed the soul, to sustain us, to give us power, spiritual power, for God to continue that work in our hearts, continue that sanctification, that we grow and we mature and we understand ourselves and the weakness of ourselves better and better the older we get to know where those temptations come from and how we deal with them by the power of Christ. Christ liveth in us. This morning, when we think about baptism for you as a class, you come to this point in your life, a very important time. And you think about what it means to be a Christian. And by faith and commitment to make a vow to God, it's because you can do this because Christ lives within you. And this baptismal service is part of that testimony of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into your life. Think about the power that you have. Now, you, like us, the rest of us who even are older and maybe more mature, we also know sometimes how it feels to feel a little weak. And to feel like we hardly have the strength. But that's when we need to look to Christ and not at ourselves. Christ liveth in us. And we recognize that and understand that. Who is Christ that lives within us? Well, he's the one who conquered sin. He's the one who conquered the devil. He's the one who conquered death. He's the one who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You think about, for all of us as a Christian this morning, I guess we have to hang our heads in shame when we have stumbled and lacked faith and lacked spiritual victory. When you think about all the power that is available to us to live in victory. Christ within. What a reservoir of power and victory right within our own being. That's probably why Paul bursts out there in Romans 8 later in the chapter and he says, yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I've never figured out yet what a more than conqueror is. Maybe you have an answer for that. A conqueror is a conqueror, but he says more than conquerors. There's just no limit to the provisional power of God for us in living a Christian life. Ephesians 3, 19 and 20 there, he refers, I'm not going to turn to that scripture, but it refers to the thought there where he says, the power, according to the power that worketh in us. If you want to stretch your mind sometime, explore those thoughts in relation to what Paul writes there in Ephesians 3. That God is working in us, he said, according to the power that worketh in us, which of course is the power of the Godhead, the power of heaven. Another faith-building scripture is 2 Corinthians 9:8, where he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Do you understand that? Can you grasp that? It's more than I can wrap my mind around. That God is able to make all grace, I'm not sure the dimension of that quite, all grace abound toward you, it personally, each of us, ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I think what this means is, if we're honest with ourselves, it means that you and I have a tremendous frontier of exploration yet before us in Christian living, and Christian power, and Christian victory, and moving forward. When God says, I have given you all grace, all sufficiency for all things. And so, this morning, we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in the living God who has given us these things. Another part of the witness of Christ within means that the world loses its strong appeal. It doesn't mean that it ever goes away. It is around us. But it loses its strong appeal upon us and upon our wills as we are committed, as we have been crucified with Christ, and we lay down that old nature and allow it to die by the power of Christ. Paul here said in Galatians 6:14, he said, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. When something is dead, there's really no attraction, or there's no response. We may be tempted, but when the power of Christ is reigning within the strong appeal and charm is broken. Whenever I find, and I'm sure you have experienced this too, when you find the appeal of the world to become stronger in your life, you know, and we talked about this in the Sunday school lesson a little bit about, you know, where we find our affirmation. When that pull of the world is there, and there's a sort of a charm that goes with it in that appeal, it means that we're losing our view of Christ, our vision of Christ and his power within us. Because when we are dead to the world, it's not going to have the same appeal. There can be some temptations that come, but we're not going to be running after those things of the world because they don't attract us. They don't appeal. Paul one place said, you know, the time of the past should suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. The things that once interested us, interested me, no longer get my attention when I am crucified with Christ and he is alive within. Also, another part of the witness of Christ within is that we become living gospels for the world to read. This is true for each of us in our lives as a Christian. And I would like to also relate this to the young people here this morning, all of you, especially the class. The world can understand why older people at times get fairly serious about Christian living. But one thing the world usually does not understand is how a young person commits themselves to God and turns their back on the world. You are a living testimony to the world. We will bear his likeness in our daily lives. And your reactions, your responses, you know, will be a witness. It's like when the apostles were there before the Sanhedrin court there, and it says that they looked at them and they watched them and their reactions, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There was a difference. There was just a quiet testimony and a commitment that made a difference. For many people today, you're going to be the only Bible that they ever read. Because they watch and they observe and they wander. There's something there that the world could not understand. That is part of the testimony of Christ within and that difference that he makes. Lastly, there's the witness of Christ within, that is also through his Holy Spirit, but is a down payment from God for the full and complete salvation that is yet future. Paul writes of this in Ephesians when he says there that we are to receive the earnest of the Spirit. He has given that to us. And that word there means like a down payment. We are given the Holy Spirit of God is poured out into the life of the Christian today. And the Bible teaches that that is a down payment of the full, complete salvation that is going to happen in the future. And we use that benediction sometimes. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, that's the full dimension of salvation. That's the completeness of it. But until we get there, he's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to empower us, to walk with us, to help us, to guide us in our journey from here to that point where we stand before the throne of Almighty God and Christ is there and he said, I'm going to present them to the Father with exceeding great joy. Look at the trophies that have been redeemed from the earth from the wicked darkness of the earth, these trophies, these brothers and sisters of mine that have followed me through all the difficult experiences and are now in glory, now safe. He says, I can present them faultless. That is the witness of the Spirit that God wants us to have today. Brothers and sisters, I trust this has been an encouragement to us. And we think about the power that is available for us day after day. Yes, some days we don't feel as close to God maybe, and some days we may struggle with things. Let's never, never doubt the provision and the power of God to walk with us and take us through those times. May we each continue faithful until we are there in His very presence and experience His pleasures forevermore. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, we thank You that You, in Your mercy, provided salvation for us in a way that we cannot really comprehend or understand. And yet, Father, we thank You that we can experience it. We pray this morning, Father, that You would help us in each of our lives to understand all the power that is available to us. That as we go through this world of wickedness and sin and all the pressures and temptations around us, that, Father, we can be victorious through Thy power and Thy strength. And we just pray this morning that You will continue to guide us each step of the way. And we especially pray for the young people here this morning, especially the baptismal class, that You would help them to continue strong and to grasp these truths and apply them to their lives as they continue to live out, you know, the work of Your Holy Spirit within their lives, and that their testimonies may continue strong and pure, and they can each find the strength to live in victory. And so, Father, we just pray Your blessing upon the continued service, and may Your guidance, Your peace, and Your worship be with us. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Come now to the time of the baptism. We have enjoyed having instruction classes with these young people, getting to know them in a more personal way. Can testify of their desire to live for Christ. We have interviewed them, as well as discussed with their parents how they feel about their Christian life and commitment, as well as the congregation has given their voice. There's been no reason given that these young people should not be baptized and become members of the congregation here. So we look forward to this time. First of all, we're going to have each of the young people give a personal testimony to the congregation before we proceed further. So we'll start with Reuben. You want to stand up and give your testimony. Thank you, Reuben. All right, Tyler.
I'm so thankful that Jesus died on the cross for me so that I can be set free from the bondage of sin. I look forward to the journey God has chosen for me. And being part of this church. Please pray for me as we move to Guatemala, that I may be a faithful servant in God's kingdom. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 4:31.
Thank you, Tyler. All right, Darren.
I can drive that person died for the one cost for me. I can save. And today, I'm a stepping stone to the dream. And that's the prayer. The verse that stood out to me is Matthew 5:16. That you might so shine before men and that they may see you good works and glorify the Father which in heaven. Speak to pray for me as a hero.
Thank you, Darren. Joseph?
I am thankful the Lord has cleansed me and left what he has done for me. I am sorry for my past sins, and I'm trying to do better. I am glad I can join the church and can learn to serve God more. Thanks for your prayers.
Thank you, Joseph. Brooke?
Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for the gift of salvation, for a God of mercy who never gives up on me. I want to bring glory to God in all that I am and all that I do. And thanks to everyone for your prayers and support. I'm looking forward to being a member of this church.
Thank you, Brooke. Marissa.
Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd like to thank my parents and also the ministry for helping me get where I am today. I'm looking forward to being there.
Thank you, Marissa. All right, we'll proceed with the baptismal. Stand and come to the middle. So I'll ask the questions of you and then give you time, each of you, to answer. The first three questions relate to your belief in God, in the triune God. So the first question is, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all things visible and invisible? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, so that through him we might have eternal life?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Tyler?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and that he is the Comforter, who abides in and sanctifies the hearts of believers and leads them into all truth? Reuben?
I do.
Tyler?
I do.
Darren?
I do.
Joseph?
I do.
Brooke?
I do.
Marissa?
I do.
The fourth question relates to how you feel about the sin of your past. Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
And the last is the actual vow that is made to God. Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and his word and faithfully to abide in the same until death? Reuben?
I do.
Tyler?
I do.
Darren?
I do.
Joseph?
I do.
Brooke?
I do.
Marissa?
I do.
believe that God has heard those vows, and we want to kneel now in a consecration prayer. We're going to ask the audience to stand while we kneel to pray. My Father, we pause before you this morning again to thank you again for the provision that you made for us in salvation. We thank you for the work of Christ. We thank you for the work of His Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the ordinance of baptism. We thank you for these dear young people who in their sincerity of heart desire to serve you and to commit their lives to you for the rest of their days. Lord, we do not know what the journey will mean, what you will require of them, what you will ask of them, but we know, Father, that your grace, your strength, and mercy will be with them each step of the way as they sincerely follow you. May their lives be a shining witness of what you can do in the hearts of young people today who are committed and who desire to turn their back upon the world and sin and to commit themselves to serve you. And so, Father, may these young people, as they continue in their service and their walk with you, be faithful and find your strength to continue faithful until you call them home to be with you in eternity. Whether that journey will be long or whether it will be short, we just pray, Father, that they would be faithful to the end. We ask in the name of Christ, amen. Of your faith, which you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the confession of your faith, which you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the confession of your faith, which you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the confession of your faith, you're baptized with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the confession of your faith, which you have made, you are baptized with water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reuben, in the name of Christ and the church, arise. And as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, even so you also shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother in the church. God bless you. Lord bless and keep you. Tyler, in the name of Christ and his church, arise. And as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so you also shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother in the church. Lord bless and keep you. Amen. Darren, in the name of Christ and his church, arise. And as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, even so you also shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother in the church. God bless and keep you. Amen. Joseph, in the name of Christ and his church, arise. And as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, Even so also you shall also walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother in the church. God bless and keep you. Amen. Sister Brooke, in the name of Christ and his church, arise. And as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so also you also shall walk in newness of life. As long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a sister in the church. The Lord bless and keep you. Sister Marissa, in the name of Christ and his church, arise. And as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so you also shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and his sister in the church. The Lord bless and keep you. You may be seated again. Simple obedience to what God tells us is such a blessing and so far-reaching. I'd like to encourage the congregation to welcome and accept these young people into our fellowship. I know it's a little crowded, but I would encourage you after the service to make it possible that you can come and meet them and welcome them, possibly after the benediction. Maybe those in the center aisle, if we could just stack the chairs to the side a little bit. Once we're dismissed, that might help to open this up a little more. May God bless us. I'm sure many of us think back of our baptisms. Couldn't help reflect on my own baptism. The dear brother that baptized me is long gone to his reward. But I thank God for his faithfulness and the impact he had upon my life and what difference it made. I'm sure each of us can look back to those who have been those shining lights along the way to guide us. And I would like to leave that with us as a congregation. We each, regardless of our age as members of the church, need to be those guiding lights for those who follow us, that they also can have that courage and strength to continue faithful. We're going to have a song now, and then Brother George will have some closing thoughts and dismiss us.
Number
593. Know me, sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow.
I think we would all say that we were glad we could be in this assembly this morning. On so many levels, it's been such a blessing to be here. Enjoyed the service, first part, Sunday school, all that. Enjoyed the baptism class, baptism service. I think we all can identify a bit with the early church in Acts 2 there. We read some of these verses earlier, but, you know, they were, I think, in a sense, learning to have church, to be church. And the last part of chapter 2, they were just praising, so they're continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread and from house to house, and says with gladness and singleness of heart, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we don't have daily or every time that we meet, don't have more people added to the church in that sense. But I think there's an adding to the church in our personal lives, and especially also praise the Lord that today there were added members to this church as well. And just one more thought I had, yet Brother Jerry also just mentioned too, but I think we also then have the added responsibility. You know, there's such a prevalent teaching around today that we don't need to be a part of a group or a church. We have a relationship with Christ, but I think it's such a blessing that we have each other, and then with that blessing also comes the responsibility that now we have more members of our family that we have a responsibility to help them make it through, and to make sure that we each one are that encouragement to each other. That's all I have. For that, as far as announcements, we're going to let you know yet as far as brethren's meeting, planning to have one yet here soon, reorganization. So a few other announcements. Tomorrow, James, you have a birthday, is that right, tomorrow? Happy birthday. And then Wednesday, Joel and Trish have an anniversary. Wednesday? Joel. How many years? 20. 20? All right. Congratulations. On Thursday, Julia, you have a birthday on Thursday? You have a good birthday? Yes, next Sunday is my turn to preach. I'm not sure if there are any other announcements. I'm forgetting. All right, let's stand for closing prayer. All right, let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we pause before you at the close of this service. We're so thankful that we can be gathered together here again like this and this joyous occasion. Just pray that you would ever dwell in our hearts. Just help us to keep Christ's power in our hearts. And it's only as we do that that we have any power at all. But if we do that, we have such a tremendous power that you can keep us from falling. Of ourselves, we are prone to fall, but through Christ living in us, you do keep us from falling, can keep us from falling. And to present us faultless, Lord, we have so many faults in our humanity, but we praise you that we can be presented faultless before the presence of God in his glory. And that is such an exceeding joy to us as well, and also is to Jesus and to God. And it's only through this that we can be presented faultless. We praise you for this, and just keep us in your care as we go from here, that you would continue to give us a desire to serve you and walk with us from here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.